Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? Aral, what you see. Here's our first caller. Where you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Monica calling from San Francisco.
Hello. Hey, Monica.
Hello. Wow, this is, like everyone's saying, a great topic and already seeing so much. And I guess quickly on that question, what I've come to is what I'd have to give up is consulting conditioned mind on, like, nutrition and caring for the body.
Subjects of great interest to conditioned mind, right? And
yes.
Expertise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had, like, a huge breakthrough, I guess. I don't know if we call it that. But I've struggled with this topic. I think really it's been like the most obvious area of suffering for me, the thing that kind of, you know, brought me to practice in a lot of ways. And I had this experience of really being in that position to see that I was consulting conditioned mind to tell me, or maybe conditioning was consulting conditioned mind. But anyway, it was this really big moment where I've always been like, yeah, I get bamboozled. I do this thing. I eat this thing I don't want to. I wake up. I'm like, you know, I know it's a takeover, but I'm so identified that I can never, like, not do the thing. And in this instance, I was really, I could just hear it. Like, someone literally is controlling you from outside and telling me what I want or what I don't want to eat, and if I'm hungry, and how much time I have to eat, and just, like, really controlling the whole thing. And then even, like, sometimes when I, like, am able to sort of talk myself out of, like, you know, eating snacks or something, it's still negotiating with, I'm still negotiating with conditioning.
And the
remedy is, the thing that's so beautiful about it is that actually the source that knows the information is actually right here in the body, and consulting the body is just available at all times. But I just couldn't see it. I couldn't get there.
Yeah.
It was
still in
the mind. I was trying to still figure it all out.
Yes. It's perfect. You were consulting the middle person. Right? There you are in the body, right? The body knows. The body has a lot of clarity about these kinds of things. And we're trained to consult this system that not only does not have that information, but is really not on your side.
Yeah, and to be able to see, I think, in that moment, like, that I could really see that what I was being told was not true and not what I really want, like, not what the body wanted. And normally it's so merged that I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. I know I don't really want it, but I want it, so I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to regret it, but I'm going to do it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Anyway, it was just, I don't know, it was so awesome. And
let me say this, okay, first of all, because that's why we practice, right? We look at it, and there's a moment when, as you describe, we see it. We can hear that is a voice in the head controlling us. That's it. You've seen it. There's clarity about it. You know what's going on. And, as they say, it's been hidden in plain sight, probably for most women, since puberty.
Yeah, like, I always know, okay, I know the voice is there, I know they're not me, I know they're telling me not the truth, but when it's telling me things about, like, what I want in that moment, like, I don't know, for it was just like a something that
yeah.
I couldn't really see through. And yeah. then the other thing I want to say is that it was so liberating. Like, it's like you can't build that muscle if you don't do that first time. You can't ever choose freedom because you don't know freedom is available. And then as soon as yeah. you just have one experience of the possibility of freedom, there's like wanting that again. And, you know, like, I don't know, just it doesn't take 11 times. It really just takes one because then you
That's
have
right.
that experience.
That's it.
And not that
That's
it's never
it.
Going to happen again, but anyway, yep. it was just like really
well,
built. A pathway that didn't exist.
Yes, exactly. And what you're saying is a deep truth in awareness practice. It only takes once, and then you cannot not know what you know. Conditioned
mm-hmm.
mind will do everything that it can to close over that awareness, which is why we do recording and listening. So that you mm-hmm. you never lose sight of that, right? Not you won't ever lose sight of it, but it can bamboozle us again for days, weeks, months, years, okay, before we see it again and recognize. And I hear that from people all the time. Oh, my God, I had this same experience 5 years ago. And then I just went to sleep and now here, okay? So you don't want to do that. Because mm-hmm. you can keep that awareness fresh and alive and available to you every day of your life. So you'll never not have that experience. And will you get bamboozled again? The odds are really good. For very long? No. No.
You well, won't. It certainly won't give up trying to bamboozle.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. And the funny part is, it'll try exactly the same scam. It'll say exactly the same thing because it's not smart. It's a program.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just so appreciative and just hearing, it sounds like a lot of people are having like really big
breakthroughs
in this content.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Really been, it's been really great to hear. Because the other thing is that it's just this shameful thing and nobody else, like I'm, you know, nobody else struggles. I'm special
oh, yeah.
about this. And so it's just
oh,
been
yeah.
so great to hear everyone. And I just really appreciate, everybody's willingness to share.
The willingness and honesty and showing up. What Sangha is,
yeah.
huh? Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you. Go
Christian.
Happy.
Thanks, everyone. So happy.
Thanks, Monica. So much about the process of practice in that conversation, Sherry, that
yeah.
it's true.
Yeah.
The root cause of suffering is ignorance. But the way in which we're conditioned is that we're conditioned to ignore, not to see. And so
yeah.
to have the grace of that sight is the transformation. Awareness transforms, and as Monica pointed out, once you see it, then it's never, you can't completely be blind to what
yes.
you cannot see. And so
yeah.
then it's just a question of using the sensation of knowing that there is a difference between what I'm told and what I have seen as my cue
yes.
to, as Monica said, keep going after that, what I've seen experience.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
transform it. And that really is the behavior change when, in order to change conscious awareness, because now conscious awareness is being expanded to see things it has not seen before by a process of the transformation of seeing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and the way you're laying that out, we realize it has nothing to do with food or relationship or play or money or sex or anything else, right? It has to do with that process that you're describing. It has to
yes.
do with the seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that without Sangha, because if you cannot see something, unless it's shown to you, how would you see it?
Exactly.
And so that's one piece of it. To do this together allows for so much to be available to us because of someone else's seeing, and you go, wow, I never saw that. And how is that applicable? And the other thing, you know, Sharon, this I think is that wonderful, magical place of faith, that it doesn't matter if you haven't seen it around food, because if you're on the practice path of awareness, what is being transformed is your way of seeing. So you might be working on something, and so long as you show up and practice the transformation of seeing, it's not that you have to do it on a content-by-content level. The transformation is happening, and that change in sight also allows you to see something you've never seen before.
Yeah, and as Monica points out, just all of a sudden, one day.
Yeah.
Yes. Did I do anything special today in this moment? No, but I'm doing what I've been doing, which is paying attention and showing up, and so there it is, and I see it. And
that's
everything
exactly
changes.
So.
Yes. Love it.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is Risa.
Hello, Risa.
Hey, can you hear me this time?
Just perfectly. What are you seeing?
Great. I'm seeing the tree outside my window. I'm also
me too.
Seeing, well, I had a good. I had a really interesting sort of drop in at the very on the very first day of this content has really stuck with me, which is that for all of the other months with recording the new focus, it has felt like, well, in recording this focus, because I have a background in working as a cook and in studying Ayurveda and really spending years observing the relationship in my own body between how what I eat affects how the mind is working and what the internal environment is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I found in recording and listening of the monthly topic was that there was this kind of celebration of the fact that I really have something to offer here and that this is like an area that brings me a lot of joy. And that response was so different from the other months, which were like, okay, here we go, a chance to like sort of get fixed in some small or big way. I could just really see clearly how there was this sort of layer of just emotional feeling that conditioning was laying in there that was about sort of fixing me, and which is inherently like that I'm less than.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really like flavoring the experience of dipping into practice.
Risa, I don't know if you're moving around, but you're starting to do that underwater thing. So you started out perfect. So wherever you were, if you would get to that spot and not move, okay, just for the next few minutes. Are you there, Risa?
Okay. I haven't moved, but...
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, there you are, and you sound perfect. Okay, so the difference between what it feels like from a close, at least, close to center place of... I don't believe there's anything wrong with me in this area of life. Okay, the voices can't get me in this area of life. Versus, yeah, the voices can get me in these areas of life. And so seeing the difference in that process, because it's not actually your experience of the content of food and nutrition and body and health and all of that. It is your relationship with the voices, or lack of it, that's making the difference in this particular content.
Yeah, exactly. So by framing the issue around it, or like the focus entirely around a celebration where voices are actually not even the focus of what I'm thinking about.
That's right.
It's like removing conditioning from the frame, and it feels just so different.
Yes, yes. And that process is what you're pursuing, right? Because it's possible to remove conditioning from any frame. We don't have to look through conditioned mind. So in practice, what we learn is to look at it. We see conditioned mind, and then as Ashwini was just pointing at, we get to be aware of what we're seeing through when we're looking at conditioned mind instead of seeing through it. So there's a clarity of seeing that happens in presence, and then there's this filter, this lens that gets put over that clarity, which is conditioned mind.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just each experience of perceiving it.
Yes.
It feels like really incredible physically and emotionally.
Yes.
Just amazing.
Yes. 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 And so lots of recordings about that, okay? Lots of recordings that inspire you to look at looking, to look at seeing. What sees? How does seeing happen? What is it that sees? Because what it is that sees is what we're seeking. And it is also, happily, what is seeking us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Risa. I'm glad
it
worked this time. Okay.
Yeah, me too. It's just because I moved, so I'm like figuring out how to get the signal in the new place and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Ooh,
but
it
worked. New place. All right. That's good news. All right. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Risa. Take care.
Thanks, Risa. And that clarity is so important to get, right, Cherry, that the difference in the experience is not about the content or about me. It's just simply that this is a domain in which the voices can't get me.
Mm-hmm. Where the
And
the
this
filter.
Is a domain where they can. And so there's the work.
That's right. It's removing the filter of conditioned mind, right? That's the whole deal. Yeah, not figuring out anything about the content, because that is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, Siri.
What are you seeing?
Oh, my gosh. I was, like, about to bust, so I sure hope I get to. Gosh, I'm trying to not try to be succinct. So I have a lot of urgency around food, and that I could talk for 2 hours about that. But when I've been practicing trying to, like, eat more slowly and chew my food, and what I'm just seeing so much about how the urgency is there's these really jumpy sensations in my stomach, and they would get labeled hunger. And there was this, like, danger, like, I got to get food right now or it's going to be terrible. And so I'm looking at, what are the terrible consequences and all that, and really starting to see that it's just urgency. It's really not often. It's really not hunger. It's just that urgency that's getting created, and then there's looking to food to quelch or squelch, I don't know the word, to calm down those sensations.
Yeah, which it does, right? And the it does. Any food is going to calm those sensations because it just does. It just uh, it it numbs the process temporarily. And so in another retreat that you and I are participating in, there's a common truth that we remind each other of, which is urgency is not our friend, mm-hmm. right? Because urgency is how we get tricked into looking to conditioned mind to take care of us. So, oh my God, mm-hmm. there's a danger. What do I do? And ego, of course, supplies the content, which is quick, stuff something in your face, and you'll feel better, which actually turns out to be true, right? Number one, mm-hmm. you've been controlled by ego, which is good. Number two, putting food in there calms those sensations, so you're not getting that information any longer. And the main point is it reinforces a process that really works against the human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because in that process, I'm seeing this as you're speaking, I'm abandoning whatever the feelings might be going on. I'm not present to my food. I'm not present to whatever else is going on.
Yes. Yeah, it's just in a frantic kind of, sounds strange to say, but hysterical place of, and the other things, of course, that go along with this for an awful lot of folks is you're not allowed to realize that this process goes on. So in other words, that in 2 hours, I'm going to be getting that frantic signal. So I need mm-hmm. to be prepared. Right. So if you, if you were fatally allergic to bee stings, you would have your little EpiPen, is what it's called, with you all mm-hmm. the time. Right. And if a bee stung you, you would not be casual about it. Right. Because you know the consequences. So in the same way, when we're paying attention for a while and we realize what's going on, we know the consequences. So you don't want to let the human being fall into that trap because you know that's going to happen, right? So you know that when that happens, first of all, you're going to stop, you're going to listen, you're going to see if this is really true, and you're going to have something for her to eat that is good and healthy, and you're going to recognize the sensations sooner and sooner. Maybe sometimes you just have a glass of water because you're not actually hungry. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. just those sensations, and they're interpreted, you know, all of those kinds of things. And you'll start seeing sooner and sooner when, okay, well, instead of letting her get fall for the hysteria, it's realizing, oh, 3.5 hours, you know, or 4 hours or whatever it is, you know, it's time to eat. So I'm going to turn attention mm-hmm. to that before anybody gets hysterical and starts making bad choices.
Yes, yes.
You're really being present to the human being, right? That's the bottom line of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being present to her and taking care, like making sure we don't go, you know, too long without eating.
That's right. And then that you have good things to eat when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yeah. And it is, it's helping me really see the urgency, how it gets created in other areas.
Yes, exactly. And how the bottom line of that always is, so look to ego for what to do. Feel urgent, look to ego for what to do. Ego's going to make some bad choices for us.
Yes,
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing that.
All right.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you.
It's really helpful.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love that image, Sherry, an EpiPen against conditioned stings.
Right, the stings of ego.
Yeah. All right, I think we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Dan in Los Angeles.
Hey, Dan.
Hey. Yeah, EpiPen. I was just thinking that. It's the recorder. I can just hit listen.
Uh-huh.
so there was a, you know, there's not that much in this one. You're pretty good with food. And so I picked this afternoon craving around 2 or 3 o'clock. I start wanting something sweet and fatty. And I, one of the sub-personalities was, I would go kind of almost disassociate a little bit for like 20 minutes. I'd walk around to different vending machines and cafeterias trying to find just the right thing to eat. So yesterday,
or the wrong thing, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Just the wrong thing for right now.
So I experimented based on some of the things I had heard, like, you know, let's just take a bite or two of things. But there's, okay, so let me back up. There was a sensation I noticed in my belly that it gets labeled hunger, and I need a particular thing to slake that or slack that. So yesterday I tried something healthy first. I had a yogurt parfait. It was a little sweet, but it was 500 calories, and I still had the sensation. So it's not hunger. Uh-huh. That was an awesome experiment. That got super clear. And so then I got an ice cream and decided I was going to eat half of it based on, the, you know, we'll do the experiment. And in eating half of this ice cream, I saw both that, several things. One, I didn't actually like the ice cream, but I was still eating it. Two, the feeling went away. Oh, that's interesting. And the real joy was throwing away the second half. There's this feeling of going against conditioning where, like, I almost feel like I'm going through molasses. You know, I can see my hand moving slowly towards the trash can, and just releasing that in the trash can was such a feeling of freedom. It was amazing yesterday. But and so, what did I have to go up against to let go of all this? The subpersonality that was walking around for a half hour trying to find something sweet, and I felt this in other times, like right before bed, you know, maybe just a little something. I was trying to see its worldview, and I'm like, what is, I don't know. It's kind of like I'm going numb in this sort of thing. And this subpersonality got labeled the fixer. It's the completely amoral person that comes in to clean up a mafia, hit job sort of thing. And you just don't mess with them. This person's taking care of things. You don't ask questions. You just keep your head down and let it take care of things. And I saw that was, I'm completely being used. It feels like a possession, and what I have to let go of isn't so much something to let go of. It's facing that fixer, and there's just so much fear around that, or sensations labeled fear, because it's not letting myself be abused. There was a time, I guess, where I had to go along with the abuse, and so I just got used to, okay, you do what you're going to do. My head's down. I'm getting really... I'm vibrating.
Feel the emotion with it. Yeah.
But as has also been said, I'm not little anymore, and I've met the mentor, so it's going to be very different this time.
Yes. Well, and there's just so many things in that, Dan. One is realizing that relationship, that we are conditioned to be powerless, and that we will allow that system to use and abuse us for its own benefit. Right? That's really what's going on, and I'm afraid to go up against it, and so I just let it use and abuse me, and that is what's happening. It's controlling us, as you say. You know, it turns us into our own sense of ourselves into a kind of a pit of molasses that it's just, or quicksand, you know, it's just, I can't get out of it. So I just need to let it do what it does. And then it'll let me go for a while. And I'll go on. And then to realize, no, it's not going to let me go. In fact, what we realize in looking around at our fellow human beings is time doesn't make anything better. it just doesn't. In fact, people don't get wiser, and you know, people do, if they're lucky, get older. But if people are getting older and wiser, it's because they're doing something to free themselves from that system. It's not just going along with that system year after year after year, because we can see the results of that. Are you with me on that one?
Yeah, and awareness helps with that because I've gone with it hundreds, thousands, I don't know, millions of times. And here I am, 45, and it still keeps happening. So
that's right.
Like you said,
yes.
Like I've heard, the release is not I've done something right or fixed something. The release is conditioning's gone away for a little bit, but it's coming back. So, okay.
That's right. That's right.
I've been around.
It got what it needed from you. It's munching up those calories, and what you see with this is that if you continue in that relationship, your body is going to be less able to sustain it. Mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, you'll be less able to sustain it. The fear will grow, and so we want to address it now. We want to stop it from doing this to us now, and get that wheel of karma turning away from suffering, which is what you're doing.
It's not a little thing. Just having that cookie is not a little thing. I see that now.
Oh, that's like, it's just one pill. It's just one, OxyContin, or however you say that. You know, it's just one pill. What's that going to hurt? Everything.
It's the process that leads to that pill.
Yes,
that's
the process.
It's
killing
me.
All right.
So, yep. Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. It's so critical, right, Carrie, that once we understand what's going on, the self-hate can't use that against us because that's the killer.
Right.
You still have an ego despite being, how could you still be the person to let someone small be abused? What does that say about you? You can't fall for that.
Can't fall for that. Mm-mm. It was a setup. It's Dan's image, you know. We're extricating ourselves from the mob.
Yes.
Yeah. No, the mob is not our fault.
No, absolutely not. I mean, to get that, it's not your fault, is the most, it's such a freedom from egocentricity, because egocentricity makes you the center of the world, the architect of the universe and everything that's going on in it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of a marvelous show. Here's our assignment, my favorite. The karmic conversation holds the answer. However, the way the conversation is framed causes us to go to what is not so rather than what is so. For example, the conversation that says my well-being lies in getting everything I'm supposed to get done instead of doing what takes care of me. But what would truly take care of me is to realize it's not either or. It's possible to be responsible to both the human being and what she needs to do. In fact, a healthy body has the energy to do everything that needs to be done. Assignment, what is the answer that is revealed to you by the karmic conversation? RL, what you see.
Beautiful. Can't wait.
Yeah.
So
can't wait.
All right.
All right.
Take care,
Sherry.
Thank you, everybody.
Happy.